That was nice. Nice little trip down memory lane there is Parker Washington with a 96-yard punt return. A two-point conversion, which I didn't understand why they did that there, but whatever.
Well, they got the penalty.
Yeah, they got the penalty. So
it's first and goal from the one.
Still thought it was a little strange. But either way, they connected on it, and they got it, so it didn't make a difference. But, yeah, they got
I think that's analytics.
Is that analytics?
The difference between a two-point conversion from the normal spot to the one-yard line is greatly increased your chances of getting it, so that's why they do that.
Okay.
That's why Mayo was so pissed, because you jump off sides there, you shoot yourself in the foot. People are going to take advantage of it and take 2 points.
Understandable. And it ended up putting the Patriots in an awkward situation later on in the game where they felt like they had to go for two earlier than they should have. And, you know, here I am mocking it, but it ended up working out just fine. That was the cap off of a 22-point quarter as the Patriots were early in the second quarter, lead this game 10-0. And then you had the Brian Thomas touchdown. It was an 8-play drive that went 68 yards. The Tank Bigsby run on the next possession, 6 plays, 82 yards. And then on a punt, and these were all three and outs. I think they were all three and outs from the Patriots. I'll go back and look it up. If it wasn't, they were close to being three consecutive ones there as the play calling started to get very stagnant there in the second quarter. And that punt return that you just heard ended up being really the difference in the game, and I thought the turning point in the game as well. As soon as he ran that one back, I sort of looked at it and thought, you know what? This isn't going to happen today. Like I don't see, even if May comes out and leads another touchdown drive, like this just isn't happening for them over here.
Yeah, you lost control of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you had good control of the game, and it happens in the NFL. It's not exactly NBA-esque, but
right.
There are times where people feel like they have control of the game and then they lose it. This was absolutely one of those. Because I told you, Mr. 0-17, Mr. Number 1 pick, Mr. Has a Plan, was suddenly rooting for a victory, was suddenly rooting for you to continue. You score 10 points early, let's put up 40 points in the game, 400 yards passing, spread them, shred them, do the whole thing, add to the numbers against that team, which were legitimate, by the way. The 14 touchdowns and one interception and combined 114 passer rating that everybody had against them, I see why. They're not all that good on defense.
No.
Probably could have kept going.
Not great on defense. Offense is looking better, but still not good, even though Drake May is a good quarterback, I think, and will be a good quarterback. That's still a bad offense overall. And special teams, getting shredded. I mean, they just got shredded right there.
Well, and that's so Jerod Mayo brought this up today, I think with the morning show in that interview, where he said, it's like every week there's something that's good and everything else is bad. And it's like a puzzle. You're trying to figure out which pieces of the puzzle are going to be good and work that week. And this week, it was the passing game. The offense started pretty well. The passing game was pretty good.
Yep.
He said the pass protection he thought was a little bit better. It kind of does remind me, we had a caller bring up the Red Sox earlier, of the Red Sox, when they never pieced it together, it felt like when they had the pitching, the hitting wasn't good.
Yep.
When the hitting got hot, the pitching took a dive for a while. Then the pitching came back and the hitting went away. Like, this team isn't consistent enough at anything. Like, just think of yesterday. If Drake May played the way he did yesterday and you got one of the rushing performances from the first couple weeks where they were running the ball really well and Ramondre Stevenson was breaking tackles, that'd be a nice performance. Then you'd have a real balance. Then I wouldn't probably question why you decided to start some drives with runs when the passing – like, you were a balanced team, but they haven't been able to put any of that together. And then you add in even Bryce Behringer has been a positive for this team, a weapon, as Mayo said. And then Mayo's all pissy because he punts it straight down the middle of the field and says, makes it hard. He outkicks the coverage because he's got a leg, and he puts it right down the middle of the field where it's hard for us to cover the whole field.
Belichick had something to say about that today, too, as well.
Oh, did he
rip him? He's like, you can't kick it right down the middle. If you do that, that's what's going to happen. Like, okay, Bill.
Joe Judge would have never let that happen.
No. Joe Judge, who was famously good at everything that he tried to do here.
Belichick with his victory laps.
If we have this Braverman, Drake May, after the game, had a quick comment that I heard, and I thought, ooh. Even Drake's getting in on this finger-pointing a little bit here, as he had this to say about Jacksonville and the time of possession. Do we have this, Joe, if you have this? This was sort of a quick comment. Not a lot of people I heard commenting on it, but I heard it, and I was just like, ooh, okay, so there's even a little bit of this coming from the quarterback.
But we haven't started fast in a while. It kind of was something new for us. So, you know, proud of the guys for starting fast. You know, a couple throws here and there, you know, for me as well. And then other than that, we just got to, I guess, just find out, you know, ways to, you know, get first downs. And I feel like the Jags did a nice job of, you know, time possession. Shoot, we had for a while there in the second half, one drive the whole half until the end. So, you know, credit to them. And then just got to, I don't know, work harder, find something different, you know, find something different.
How about that? Right? Jacksonville had the ball the entire second half. We only had one possession, right? What was he talking about? Yeah, credit to Jacksonville, but also why was that the case?
I mean,
who allowed that to happen? Who was letting them pick up first downs left and right? I mean, yeah, but you just
facts are the facts.
That's the first time this season that you've really heard someone say, "Hey, you know, I did my best, but I can only do what I do when I'm out there on the field. If I'm not on the field, what am I supposed to do?"
He's not wrong,
but it's starting to. It's in there. It's in that locker room.
Well, how could it not be?
It's no way.
It's not his fault,
right?
Do you think he would do that under Belichick? I would say no. You know why? Not because Bill's great. This is not a Bill's great thing. The environment was different.
He wouldn't have been right. Yeah.
And forget even the preaching. He wouldn't see other people saying and doing and talking out of line. He's looking around. He's like, is this what we do around here where everybody just kind of points fingers at everybody else? And we do it on social media. We do it in post-game press conferences. We do it in like little one-on-ones with Andrew Callahan at the Boston Herald. Like, it feels like you steal a Belichick phrase, do business is being done.
Yeah.
Right?
I just saw Maddie the Marine jump up and run out the door, but I guess that doesn't mean anyone's coming in right now. Okay, sorry. No, we good? All right, never mind. I see him jump up and move. I assume there's something
He's
happening.
He's doing his Hunter Henry impression. False start.
Yeah, just a little false start there.
I just had to pee.
Okay, very good.
How'd it go?
Yeah, good one. All right, nice, good stream. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Jamal stuck in traffic. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, guys, not very happy Monday.
Mm-mm.
I think you guys should start a new segment every Monday. You could call it As the Patriots Turn, or you know, General Patriots, like something like after the, because this story is just getting crazier and crazier every week. It's just like, you know, nothing. The story is just getting so amazing. I can't even talk about it. I'm just like lost for words right now.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jamal.
Thanks, Jamal.
We appreciate you trying to find the words here, and I agree. It is getting kind of soap opera-y now.
Should we clarify? Those are soap operas?
Yes,
not everybody in the audience. Well, our audience probably knows.
Our audience knows all about that, I'd say.
Some in the audience, the Bryans of the world, General Hospital was a soap opera that was on, I believe, from 3 to 4. I remember
still
watching.
Is, isn't it? Is it still on? I think those are all still shows.
And As the World Turns, and I don't know what the others were. But
Bold and the Beautiful?
Bold and the Beautiful,
sure, yep. I don't know anymore.
Young and the Restless.
That's one, yep.
Look at me knowing four.
Yeah. These were the things that were on TV when you stay home sick from school, right?
Yes.
And it would be like Jerry Springer, some of these various soap operas, maybe like Price is Right.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a lot to choose from. Yeah.
These were, I feel like, noon to four, 1 to 4 was the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, old women watched them. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I can remember being at Grammy Hart's house, and it was like, oh, whatever we did in the morning, it was like, nope, we are done. We're taking a break because it's time for my – I think she called them my programs or my shows or whatever.
Dynasty was a big one.
But that was a night one.
Dynasty. That was at night?
I think that was a primetime soap opera.
I remember that being a soap opera. I don't know what time it was.
I think that was a primetime soap opera.
Okay. Let's go to Alex and Wilbraham. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, guys. What's going on today? So I know you guys had already talked about the two-point conversion and you know, how that probably wasn't the best idea based on the defenses. You know, just lack of stopping and putting the pass in a tough spot. Coaching-wise, like, where do we go from here? Like, why? I guess my confusion is, like, I'm kind of questioning a lot of Mayo's decisions recently, and I get it. We're 1-6. You know, having this, you know, issue right now. Where do we go from here? Like, when do we stop looking at the players and start looking at the coaching, looking at all the different areas where we need to improve? Because it just seems like they'd be everywhere. Because you guys were just talking about punting earlier. Like, where do we go from here as far as coaching goes?
Yeah, Alex, thanks for the call. I think we have been pretty hard on the coaching staff, too. I don't think we've given them a pass or anything like that, as much as we're beating up on these players who are underperforming as well. It's sort of a, you know, it's sort of like it's an ecosystem of failure just kind of feeding each other. Like
Spider-Man meme?
Exactly. Like, you suck, we suck, everybody suck. We're all pointing at each other because we all suck. Like, that's sort of what's going on here.
And I think, personally, this week feels like the week where it's really transitioning to the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And to Mayo in particular. We've had some Alex Van Pelt before. Was that last week? There was a question about would the play calling be a consideration. I believe that was last week, and Mayo said it's not under consideration.
Right.
DeMarcus Covington feels like he's skated, quite honestly, for a unit that Bill Belichick is pointing to, and the reason they stink is the coaching.
Yep.
Paraphrasing there, but that's what Bill basically said. There's a lot of the players are the same, and they were top the league in yards per carry last year. Now they're in the middle of the lower part of the pack, blah, blah, blah. He's pointing the finger at his former assistant, DeMarcus Covington.
The Patriots led the league last year in rushing defense.
Yep, and now they definitely do not. Now they lead the league in times that the opponent has rushed it 19 straight times against you, because I believe they are a class of one there by themselves. But no, I think this week, somebody, Fitzy asked me that at the very conclusion of the postgame show yesterday. What's the story of the week? What's the talking point of the week? I think it's the coaching staff. I think it's starting to feel pressure for Gerard Mayo. We talk about it, error repeater, culture. You know, he doesn't even know what to clean up because he's got three phases. Right. Social media locker room cleanup, police blotter cleanup, or on the field effort, energy, attitude, production cleanup. Where do you even begin, right? Like, that's – so I think that is going to start to grow. And I will say, I think there was an allusion in the morning press conference to the possibility of a change, a defensive play caller, and he didn't shoot it down.
Yeah.
And – you do have options there. Gerard Mayo could
like
call defensive.
Himself.
Right,
exactly,
that's what
right.
I mean.
Yes, 100%.
Just like Ben McAdoo is lingering here in the offensive side, you have options if you believe play calling is a problem. But whether that'll change, I mean, that's our outside vantage point looking in. But he said last week, right, things were going to change, right, based on undisciplined play.
Yes.
And we're going to change this in the lineup. Well, do you use the same barometer for the coaching staff?
It should. And I didn't even really see that much difference in the
no, not
players.
Really.
Like, Raekwon McMillan didn't start. And
no.
Polk was out there. I mean, he was out there enough times
he
to drop
like,
four balls. He was 55% of the snaps.
Something like that. That alarmed me. That amazed me. Now, this is the week where that has to stop. He cannot be on the field 55% of the time. Although, I'd also bench Osborne for being a dink on social media.
Yeah, but at least he made a play.
Yeah, I'm still benching him.
Okay.
Polk and Osborne benched, and I would elevate Baker and Thorne. Because they're healthy scratches.
Yeah, sure.
Or I guess one was technically sick. Baker was sick. Well, he could be a sick. Maybe he was out with Pop.
That could be.
Maybe Baker and Pop were out using, moving on from your theory.
Out there eating chili dogs and, you know, staying
Yeah, what made him sick?
I don't know. Anything. Any British food probably
Fish
made
and
him
chips?
Sick. Yeah, it's probably some crap.
Blood pudding?
And that's the other thing. Everybody, bread is so great. History is so great. How come no one there knows how to cook anything? You know, how come no one in England can cook a single dish?
Wow,
they have one thing that is like a British dish that you think about and you go, yeah, that's something that they should really be proud of. Fish and chips? Come on, please.
You don't like fish and chips?
It's fine, but it's nothing special. I mean, it's just, you know.
I like good fish and chips.
Fish over some French fries. That's
wait, what's the
is.
Thing you like?
From British cooking? Not really anything.
Well, you said they have one thing.
No, I said they don't have one thing.
Don't they have bangers and something?
Bangers and mash?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sausage and potatoes?
Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think so.
And isn't blood pudding another one for breakfast or
There's
something?
There's also spotted dick.
What?
Yeah.
What is that?
You ever seen King Ralph?
That's a Dalmatian.
That's true. I mean, hey, that's what it is. I'm not, you don't have to dump that, Joe. That's a real dish that you can get. It's like a dessert cake in England. Yeah.
I don't know that I could order that with a straight face.
I mean, it took me a second to build up the courage to say it on the air, but that is something that they eat over there in England.
You're going to ask Drake May if he had some?
Yeah.
No, you won't.
No,
please
I'm not.
Don't.
I will not.
I don't want to become that show.
I don't think we need to do that. Let's go to Charlie in Boston. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Great show. The only thing that gets cooked correctly in England is the Patriots defense.
Oh!
Hey!
Ba-dum-bum.
Nice one, Charlie.
Bam! Got him.
Nailed it.
But, yeah, Drake May's comments are kind of weird because is he blaming the offense or the defense? Because the offense couldn't stay on the field. The defense couldn't get off the field. So it's like, who's he blaming?
I thought he was blaming the defense.
Yeah,
that's what it seemed like.
He could also be blaming, that was also the stretch, I believe, where they started leading off drives with more running plays.
That could be too, yeah. I mean, sure. But to say that they controlled the time of possession and we only got the one possession, I think is that came off to me like a shot at the defense.
Yeah, I mean, they looked wicked flat, too. I mean, Gonzalez looked like he was on his heels all day getting cooked by Brian Thomas. Like, it was bad. It was so bad all around.
Yeah, it was a bad game. And all-around bad game against a bad team that you should have been able to. I mean, listen, 16 points, whatever you want to say, most people who predicted that game predicted the Patriots would score, like, three touchdowns, you know, 24-13. I saw a lot of scores, 27 I saw. I forget what your prediction was, but I remember seeing a lot of people and national prognosticators. This is it, the Patriots and Drake May. You're going to see this offense finally against this weak Jacksonville secondary, which, by the way, is a weak secondary. They were not out there making a ton of plays, except for that one the hospital ball that went to Jalen Polk where the safety came over and took his head off. Other than that, and that was one of those plays where it's like, I was watching it. They didn't show a replay, but in real time, kind of looked like targeting to me. Like, if that was a college play, they might have kicked that guy out, whoever that guy is. But it wasn't, so, you know, whatever. But, like, I just – that was –
Is Polk your new binky? You got to protect him?
No, because he definitely should have had the first one, and he should have been able to stay on his feet. But that second one, The second ball, the one where the safety came over, I thought that was a bad pass by May. And I'm just calling it like I see it. I have no interest or investment in Jalen Polk. I think he's been terrible. I think he stinks, honestly, so far. So, you know, what do you want from me? 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're waiting now on Drake May and Jonathan Jones to see what these guys have to say about this game. I'm interested in the Jonathan Jones speech. Because May brought that up today. He's like, yeah, you know, Jonathan, at the end of the game, he gave us this big speech. I'm interested in knowing what that was like. I'm interested in knowing what any sort of motivational tactics are being used here by coaching staff, by senior members of the team, by anybody. There seems like there's a very big void of leadership on this team right now, and I'd be willing for anybody to step up. Some of it may have to do with the fact all your captains are either injured or on the commissioner's exempt list right now. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I don't think so. I just think these are not necessarily guys who are ready to take the reins of this team and say, hey, you know, follow me, guys. I'll show you how to win. These guys don't know how to win. You know, they're just not winners.
Well,
not winners so far.
There's an interesting blend of people, too. There's newcomers came in the offseason. There's newcomers that have only been here for a short period of time. There's guys that don't feel comfortable about their roles, right? Like, there's a lot of guys that don't know their role. And when you don't really know your role, it's hard to be a leader. You got a captain who's now a backup quarterback who I think is probably a pretty good leader. I think it becomes more difficult to be the backup quarterback leader. I think just inherently, now you get a rookie starting quarterback. He should be a leader because he's the quarterback, and the quarterback's usually a leader, but he's still finding his way in terms of leadership style. And then I would add in all the coaches are finding their own leadership styles under a new umbrella, right?
Yeah.
DeMarcus Covington has never been a coordinator. Gerard Mayo's never been a coordinator or a head coach. Alex Van Pelt, never been a coordinator. These guys are all finding their way. So maybe too many people finding their way. And I think that's where some of the coaching staff was supposed to help out Ben McAdoo, an assistant head coach type role. He's been around tough teams and situations. Matthew Slater, who's been around a lot of teams as a leader in the locker room. But I also think sometimes it's hard for those people to lead. Sometimes you just need your players to lead. And I don't know who the vocal, who's the Willie McGinnis? Who's the guy who's just going to say, what the F are you doing? Get to practice.
Yep.
Or get in your playbook. I remember when he chewed out Bethel Johnson. Don't you have a playbook to get into? He screamed at him across the locker room. Who's saying that right now?
I don't know. Who's good enough to say that?
I don't know. Good enough, but also has it in their personality.
In their personality and has the, I guess, the credibility, right, to say, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you what to do. Like, there's right now.
Is Gonzalez going to do it?
Talking to Godchild.
No,
talking to
I don't
Keon
want any
White
of that.
And who's, what are they? What are you telling
is
me?
Is Duggar going to do it? I don't think it's in his personality.
I don't think so either.
Gonzalez is too young to do it.
And you have very little like Pro Bowl All-Pro talent.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I don't think Ramondre Stevenson is overly vocal. David Andrews is gone. I don't know that Mike Onwenu is overly vocal. I can't think of a person who is.
Onwenu had a bad game yesterday.
Well, yeah, he's got his issues. He hasn't played well. But I think that's a legitimate question. Because they used to have a lot of those guys. You went from Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Vince Wilfork.
Harrison. Yep.
Like, these were guys that would tell anybody to shut the F up and to get in their playbook, to do what they – remember that? Like, Teddy Bruschi used to do it when he joined the media. Remember, what did he say about Ocho
Chad
Cinco?
Ocho Cinco.
Get off your video games and get in your play. Like, those guys are inherently leaders.
Yeah.
They don't mind being an a-hole. Who are those guys on this roster?
I don't see one, and I don't see one on the coaching staff.
I'm also not sure Gerard Mayo was ever one of those guys as a player, and I don't think he's that guy as a coach.
Doesn't seem like it. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we're still waiting here on Drake May in a bit of a holding pattern, but the pointing fingers in the locker room is something that's going on and something that we do have to address. We've talked about it a little bit, but where does this stop? Is it going to stop, or is it just going to be something that goes on all year? We'll get to that right after this.